Good morning, everyone. My name is McKamey Pruitt. I'm a master's student at NC State under the direction of Dr. Susanna Mia Lewis. I'm really excited to talk to you guys today and tell you about my master's work in quantitative trait loci analysis of freezing tolerance in zoysia grass. This project is in collaboration with Dr. Aaron Patton at Purdue and Dr. Brian Schwartz at the University of Georgia. A little background on zoysia. It's a warm season perennial grass originating in the Pacific Rim. Zoysia is made up of 11 different species, but Japonica and Matrella are the main ones that are produced in the U.S. As a warm season perennial turf grass, it has a lot of advantages. It's low maintenance with low inputs and has a really nice dense growth habit, as well as good tolerance to abiotic stresses like drought and shade. It's primarily used for home and recreational purposes. It's very popular because of these aesthetic qualities and the low input requirements. Zoysia is mostly grown in the southern U.S. as a warm season grass. It can be grown up into the southern areas of the transition zone. And as a warm season grass, it does have pretty good cold tolerance, but compared to its cool season competitors, it has a very relative lack of winter hardiness. So even though it has this relative lack of winter hardiness, there is one cultivar in particular that's known for its cold tolerance. Meyer was released in 1951 by the USDA in Beltsville, Maryland. It has great cold tolerance. Its reported LT50 is minus 11.5, but it's very slow to establish and has a coarse texture. Since Meyer's release, there's been a lot of breeding work to come up with more cold tolerant cultivars, but 65 years later, Meyer is still the standard for cold tolerance in zoysia on the market. There's a lot of challenges in breeding for cold tolerance in zoysia grass. Variable winters make field evaluations difficult, especially in the transition where winter looks different every year. It's a complex trait, and we don't fully understand all the different components that go into it, so that makes selection really difficult. So molecular markers associated with the trait would be instrumental in helping us find more cold-tolerant cultivars. Molecular work in zoysia, the first linkage map was published in 1999, but since then progress has been kind of slow. This year, though, especially, we've had two big developments. First, Dr. Wong's group at Texas A&M published the first Matrella map using genotyping by sequencing for SNP discovery and published two identity maps from that. Also, a group out of Japan published reference genomes for Zoysia japonica, Zoysia matrella, and Zoysia pacifica. However, there are only two published QTL for zoysia, one for salt tolerance and one for fall armyworm resistance. So with all these molecular resources, there's a lot of potential for the discovery of new traits. The main objective of my research was to identify QTL associated with winter hardiness to improve our selection criteria. To do this, we first developed and evaluated a pseudo-F2 mapping population of Meyer by Victoria. We then created a high-density SNP-based map of the zoysia genome and added SSR markers to this map. And finally, we wanted to evaluate this population in the field for winter survival and associate phenotypic data together. Sorry, this is not my most recent version I thought I uploaded. Just a brief overview of my workflow. First, I'm going to tell you a little bit about our field evaluations and phenotypic data. Our genotypic data and marker work, and then tell a little bit about map construction and QTL identification in this population. To phenotype this population in the field, we started with the cross between Meyer, which I've said is great freeze tolerance, but coarse leaf texture, slow to establish, and Victoria, which has very poor cold tolerance, but is really nice fine leaf texture and fast establishment. This cross was done by Dr. Brian Schwartz at the University of Georgia. From this cross, we were able to develop 175 F1 progeny. These are F1s, but zoysias are highly heterozygous, so F1s segregate like F2s, so this is a pseudo-F2 mapping population. We quickly saw segregation for lots of phenotypic traits in the field, winter survival for sure, but also color aggressiveness and density. This population was planted in two locations in 3x3-foot plots in a randomized complete block design with three replications. We also used 9 checks, including the parents, Meyer and Victoria, and these checks had a known range of previously reported cold tolerance. Our two locations were the William H. Daniel Turfgrass Research and Diagnostic Center in West Lafayette, Indiana, and the Upper Mountains Research Station in Laurel Springs, North Carolina. Both of these locations have different but low average winter temperatures, so we got a variety of winter pressure. The population is also in the field in Tipton, Georgia. There it's being evaluated for heat and drought tolerance as well as overall turf quality. Now, after some losses in the field in 2014, we decided to replant the entire trial in both the Indiana and North Carolina locations to get some more data on those lines that were lost the first year. Phenotypically, we evaluated winter injury, turf quality, winter kill as well, and first scent cover from 2014 through this year. Turf quality we rated on the NTEP 1 to 9 scale, and winter injury and percent cover we did digital image analysis using Fiji. Fiji is an open source adaptation of ImageJ that allows for the use of macro specific for turf evaluation. We took pictures of all plots using a light box every 6 to 8 weeks, May through October 2014 through 2016. And then we used Fiji to look at each one of these pictures and quantify percent cover based on green pixel ratios. I then used this formula to calculate percent or winter injury from percent cover, comparing coverage before and after winter dormancy. Now, while field evaluations were ongoing, I genotyped this population in the lab. I started by screening 239 SSR primers against both parents, and of those, I genotyped the whole population with 120 polymorphic primers. Additionally, we developed a library for sequencing. I used segments that were amplified and multiplexed to be differentiated for 184 individuals. We then used an Illumina-MiSeq 150 single read run for sequencing. And then when we received the sequencing data, we used the Mello et al. Pipeline that was published earlier this year for SNP calling. This pipeline was especially useful to us because it allows for SNP calls without a reference genome by creating a mock reference genome. However, midway through our evaluation, the Nagurasaki reference genome was published, so we were allowed to align our reads to the reference genome and increase our SNP calls from only a couple hundred to 2,300. Now, on to results. We had two very different winters the past 2 years. A 2014 winter was very harsh. We lost 41% of plots in North Carolina and 70% of plots in Indiana. But this past year was much milder. We only lost 16% of plots in North Carolina and 10 and 4% of plots in Indiana, respectively. You can see on the right, thankfully, we're not relying on survival data alone, but looking at winter kill as well. In these graphs, 1 for winter kill is completely dead, and 9 is no death at all. In these two plots, Victoria consistently fell as a 1, completely dying across all populations, and the Meyer parent is either an 8 or a 9. So you can see that first year, our distribution is a little skewed because we had so much complete death, but this past year with the milder winter, we have a nice normal distribution of winter kill across all populations. Statistically, because of the variable winters and because of the loss of lines that first year, I evaluated each population by year as a separate environment, and then ran all my analysis using those six environments. Using that model, we saw statistical differences among all the genotypes as well as the environment was significant, and the interaction between environment and genotype was significant too. You can see just in those pictures on the left some of the variability that we're seeing for winter injury in the field. Those pictures are from the spring of 2015 in North Carolina. For SNP calling, I'm excited to share this data with you. We did lose some of our reads for the Meyer parent in sequencing, so we're going back and resequencing some of those, hoping to increase our SNP calls. But even without really high-density Meyer reads, we were able to call 2,306 SNPs and successfully map those to the reference genome. Those SNPs have an average read depth of 9.1 counts. We also added all 120 SSRs to that map, and those SSRs covered all 20 chromosomes, and the SNPs covered all chromosomes as well. As far as coverage goes, we're really pleased with how it turned out. Our average cover per chromosome is 121 markers. Total coverage covered 323 megabases and 1,973 centimorgans. For perspective, Zoysia's genome is 334 megabases. So again, more Meyer reads would help us get more SNP calls, deepen that coverage a little bit, but for starters, we were really pleased with that outcome. Using means across all environments, we were able to make some preliminary QTL calls for winter injury on 5, 12, and 13 chromosomes. I did not make it as far as I would have liked to with my QTL analysis in time for this meeting. I was actually running jump genomics in the lab like right up until I got on the plane to come here. So this is very preliminary, but I did want to share it with you guys today. These calls were made using composite interval mapping and jump genomics 7 with markers that had really good coverage and really clear genotype reads for both parents with a log threshold of 2.5. So as soon as I get back to Raleigh, I'm going to jump right into this, back into this QTL analysis. First, I want to run composite interval mapping with all 2,427 markers, and then, of course, evaluate all environments separately since they were significant in that model, and then do the combined environments and compare those two results. I want to analyze our winter survival QTL and our winter kill QTL, as well as QTL for some other phenotypic traits we were seeing, like turf quality. We're also seeing a lot of difference in aggressiveness, and we would like to look into that. Also, it would be really interesting to do some comparative analysis with our results and then previously published QTL for winter hardiness in perennial ryegrass and barley. Here's an example of that. So in conclusion, we were able to create the first SNP based with a Zoysia japonica map and then successfully used the Zoysia japonica reference genome to make a dense physical map of 2,306 SNPs and 120 SSRs that covered all 20 chromosomes. Our preliminary QTL results show potential for QTL for winter hardiness on chromosomes 5, 12, and 13 across all the environments. But, of course, a lot more analysis for this QTL is needed. But I'm getting on that very, very soon. So quick acknowledgement to my committee members and my lab members, and especially to the U.S. Golf Association for funding this research. Another quick plug for our symposium, December 14th. We'd love to see you guys there. Also, there's an online option if you want to stream it. And I'll have final results for this there. So that's very exciting. So with that, any questions? Yes?
Were you able to score the SSRs as co-dominant markers
or dominant? The question was I able to score the SSRs as co-dominant or dominant markers? We scored them as co-dominant markers. Thank you. Yes?
How about the best just in your methods? How did you quantify winter damage?
The question was how we quantified winter damage. The main way we did it was winter injury, so comparing fall cover to spring cover as a percent change in cover. We're also looking. It's just a percent change. We're also looking at winter kill too, just covering all of our bases.
So, at what level of that percentage did you choose to term trying to associate that with QTL?
We used the average means for all the lines. And so, I mean, we saw zeros that completely dead and then things were that were zero winter kill, so completely alive, and 100% winter kill, so completely dead, but then a good spread of everything in between too, so that separation is really helpful for the QTL analysis. Yes? I'm sorry, would you repeat that? Have we looked at heritability of the trait? No, not at this point. We want to nail down that trait first and then really get into the heritability of it. So, again, cold tolerance in warm season grasses is very early in the research, but very high in demand. So, heritability will be definitely a priority to look into more. Anything else? Which parent is the winter hardiness coming from? Hopefully it's coming from Meyer. I mean, it has to come from Meyer. Thankfully, though, a lot of the aesthetically pleasing traits that we're seeing are coming from the Victoria. So that's why that cross was made. Victoria actually has the lowest LT50 reported for japonicas, but it is beautiful. And Meyer can be beautiful, but so we want those aesthetic traits from Victoria and the cold hardiness that everyone likes in Meyer.
One more.
Okay.
Okay, I just have a question about your
So they were planted, oh sorry, how large were the plugs? The plugs were planted 3 by 3 inch pots into the field, planted in the field June-ish in both locations, and then allowed to establish through the summer. However, of course, like every plot established at a different rate, and so that's why we use that percent change, because some plots were bigger going into the winter than others, and then of course completely different sizes on the other side.
Do you think the soil, some plots that were mostly surrounded by soil, how did that affect your data versus say a 7 by 7 plot that had full coverage?
That's a great question. I'm actually wanting to look into coverage as a covariate, because of course winter survival has a lot to do with how well established the plot is going in. There's just so many different factors going on in the field that affect winter survival. But absolutely, I would say in further tests, if we use larger, very well established plots and put them under winter pressure, we might see some differences than we saw in smaller plots. Okay,
right, thank you.
Thank you.